Prima di far salire sul palco Satya, chiedo di, e invito sul palco l'amministratore delegato di Microsoft, Carlo Purasanta, con il quale scambierò due chiacchiere prima dello speech di Satya. Carlo? Ciao Carlo,
buongiorno. Benvenuto.
Mattinata intensa, abbiamo parlato di tante cose. Prima di farti un paio di domande, facciamo vedere un bel video. Che dice? Il video, grazie.
Demonstrate that we can build incredible things.
Grazie mille, grazie e benvenuti, benvenuti a tutti gli innovatori che abbiamo in sala e a tutte le migliaia di persone che ci ascoltano anche in streaming questa mattina. Per noi questo è veramente un momento per celebrare l'innovazione in Italia e abbiamo scelto questo luogo bellissimo, un simbolo dell'architettura e della musica, quindi dell'arte, ma abbiamo scelto questo luogo simbolico per parlare di un'altra forma di arte che in realtà è una combinazione di arte e disciplina, che è l'innovazione. L'innovazione vuol dire creare, ma vuol dire arrivare in maniera pragmatica a una conclusione di trasformazione. È l'arte della creazione di opportunità. E questo penso che tutti voi appassionati di tecnologia e di digitale e noi come Microsoft facciamo tutti i giorni. E penso che sappiamo che l'Italia ha bisogno di una spinta verso il futuro, ha bisogno di ritrovare l'ambizione della crescita, ha bisogno di ritrovare un pochettino di coraggio anche, no? Nel fatto di far succedere le cose, costruire cose e far succedere cose. È la cosa di cui il Paese ha bisogno. Abbiamo deciso tra l'altro di fare un evento molto particolare, abbiamo messo insieme tutte le forze dell'innovazione italiana, che non sono solo, non so, un esperto di innovazione in un'azienda, ma sono tutte le forze vive del paese. Abbiamo messo insieme gli studenti, con gli start-upper, con gli sviluppatori di software, con le persone che fanno innovazione nel digitale, con le persone che stanno nell'amministrazione pubblica. Molto importante perché noi crediamo da sempre, da 30 anni che operiamo in Italia, che l'innovazione si fa facendo squadra, collaborando, cross-fertilizzando le idee, un po' nel modo in cui si fa in Silicon Valley, cioè non si ha un'idea e si sta zitti e si cerca di andarla a costruire da soli, ma in realtà è parlandone, confrontandosi con l'ecosistema, che si riesce ad arricchire quell'idea, a far nascere delle nuove cose. E come avete visto da questo video che abbiamo mandato in onda, il 2015 noi consideriamo che è un'annata veramente molto particolare. Se leggete un po' le informazioni in questo momento, avrete notato che la fiducia dei consumatori e delle imprese in Italia non soltanto sta salendo, ma abbiamo raggiunto i primi posti in Europa. Questo è molto importante, forse non se ne parla ancora abbastanza. Ma è molto importante, stiamo vivendo secondo me un anno di cesura fra la crisi di cui si è parlato molto e le possibilità per una crescita nuovamente vigorosa. Sta succedendo in questo momento e noi insieme a voi continuiamo a creare e a spingere questo ecosistema di innovazione. Come avete visto lo facciamo con tante iniziative e con tanti programmi, quindi non soltanto nelle nostre relazioni commerciali con clienti, distributori e partner, ma lo facciamo veramente cominciando innanzitutto dalla scuola, perché noi pensiamo che prima di tutto ci debba essere una cultura digitale, quindi portiamo iniziative, programmi per dare la possibilità ai ragazzi, al liceo e all'università, di cominciare a formarsi al digitale con più energia. E quindi abbiamo già toccato 250.000 ragazzi che hanno voluto aggiungere al loro curriculum dei pezzettini di sapere digitale per prepararsi. Dopodiché l'ecosistema startup, poi ci ritornerò perché è un argomento molto importante, abbiamo aiutato 3.600 startup in Italia, quindi abbiamo un coverage estremamente alto, aiutandoli in tutte le fasi, quindi abbiamo dei ragazzi giovanissimi fino a delle aziende ormai sviluppate e cerchiamo di aiutarli a sviluppare le loro ambizioni. Poi la grande opportunità che sono le piccole e medie imprese in Italia, grandissima opportunità perché l'Italia è fondamentalmente un tessuto economico territoriale e qui ovviamente il cloud, la mobilità sta sconvolgendo il modo di operare e noi lo andiamo a raccontare nel territorio, quindi siamo in presenza con i nostri colleghi, con i colleghi dell'industria informatica a raccontare queste storie nelle città per fare in modo che salga l'appetito delle organizzazioni per questa trasformazione. Poi ovviamente le grandi aziende con cui cerchiamo di condividere l'ambizione di una trasformazione e un'internazionalizzazione ancora più forte. A noi piace lavorare con dei grandi brand, con i grandi nomi dell'industria italiana e fare in modo che l'espansione in Italia e all'estero sia ancora più importante, ancora più forte, ancora più veloce. E tutto questo lo realizziamo con un ecosistema di partner che in Italia non ha uguali. Abbiamo più di 20.000 imprese in Italia che lavorano, costruiscono soluzioni, distribuiscono prodotti con Microsoft e per noi questo qui diciamo è la leva principale per trasformare un territorio lungo, esteso, in cui dobbiamo portare innovazione in maniera granulare a tutto il nostro ecosistema. Quindi volevo ringraziare ovviamente tutti i partner che ci aiutano a far questo ogni giorno e quelli che ci hanno aiutato per realizzare anche questo evento che è un po' la somma di tutte le cose che noi vogliamo raccontare. Allora, in particolare faccio un secondo passo sulla parte startup, perché in particolare approfittiamo di questo evento Future Decoded per raccontare un'iniziativa su cui stiamo cominciando a lavorare, ma che è l'occasione oggi per inizializzare e poi ci saranno nuovi annunci nei prossimi mesi. In particolare le startup italiane noi consideriamo che è una grandissima opportunità per la crescita del paese, perché fa cultura, ma fa economia e fa occupazione. E queste 3.600 con cui noi abbiamo lavorato negli ultimi 5-6 anni, ne abbiamo viste alcune stamattina, ci sono delle realtà bellissime e noi pensiamo che ci sia un potenziale ancora inespresso e quindi vogliamo aiutare a creare un canale di aspirazione per farle diventare più grandi, per farle diventare più internazionali alcune di loro. E quindi stiamo collaborando con Fondazione Cariplo e con Invitalia, che sono qui presenti con noi stamattina, per creare un meccanismo che si va ad aggiungere a Bispark, che molti conoscono, e in realtà sarà un modello per andare a selezionare le start-up che sono più promettenti metterli in relazione con una serie di aziende, tra cui Microsoft, ma anche tante grandi corporation italiane, per cercare di fare cultura insieme di come si diventa più grandi. Quindi cosa vuol dire fare marketing e digital marketing, cosa vuol dire gestire sales all'internazionale, cosa vuol dire gestire human resources, finance. E tutte queste cose vogliamo creare un ecosistema, per una volta un approccio sistemico alla cosa, per far scuola e per fargli organizzare dei progetti più ambiziosi e più grandi. Seconda parte, con Invitalia aiuteremo poi con altri meccanismi a trovare degli investimenti più importanti. Voi sapete che ancora molte startup, quando poi passano la soglia dei 500.000 euro, del milione, in Italia è più difficile, quindi spesso c'è questo flusso verso San Francisco, verso Berlino, Londra o New York. E noi pensiamo che si può fare innovazione e occupazione in Italia, e per questo cercheremo di creare questo ecosistema. E quindi un piccolo video, che un teaser, che parla di questo. Elementi sul mercato per far crescere gli innovatori in Italia. Allora, secondo me, fare innovazione, è vero che noi parliamo di tecnologia ed è il nostro pane quotidiano tutti i giorni, vostro e nostro, però prima ancora della tecnologia, prima ancora che una trasformazione di processo, l'innovazione secondo noi come azienda è una questione mentale, è una questione di approccio mentale. E cos'è questo approccio mentale? Noi ne parliamo come il growth mindset, quindi la mentalità di crescita. Vuol dire avere quell'agilità mentale, quella freschezza innanzitutto di vedere prima l'opportunità, prima dei problemi. La seconda cosa è avere l'ambizione di crescere, e guardando, non ci sono più frontiere, guardando la competizione a livello mondiale. Ci vuole coraggio, la capacità a prendere dei rischi, ci vuole la capacità ad ascoltare i feedback e a cercare questa curiosità perenne di andare a capire le cose che ancora non conosciamo e andare a discutere con gli altri per continuare ad arricchire il nostro percorso. Tutte queste cose, questa fame di cambiamento, questa fame di crescita, sono veramente il DNA della nostra azienda, è quello che noi facciamo, ma è soprattutto quello che negli ultimi 2 anni il nostro nuovo CEO ci sta insegnando, con una metamorfosi della nostra azienda che è veramente spettacolare. Quindi chi meglio di lui ci può spiegare cosa vuol dire questa mentalità di crescere e di trasformazione? Quindi è la sua prima visita ufficiale in Italia, quindi vi chiedo di accoglierlo con calore. Conosce benissimo Roma, tra l'altro, quindi mi indicava lui stesso tutte le zone che conosce di Roma, però è la sua prima visita ufficiale, quindi gli vogliamo dimostrare che l'innovazione in Italia è una realtà tangibile, e questa sarà la giornata per farlo. Quindi please welcome on stage Satya Nadella.
Thank you so much. It's fantastic to be here this morning in Rome and have a chance to talk with all of you. One of the things that strikes me, especially talking to developers and people involved in digital technology, is the impact that all of you are having in every aspect of human endeavor. There is not an industry, there is not a walk of life, there's not a part of the economy that's not being shaped by digital technology, and it's an amazing, amazing time for us. For us at Microsoft, everything starts from our mission. In fact, the mission of empowering every person and organization on the planet to achieve more is at the core of all of our innovation agenda, but more importantly, how we show up. It's that sensibility that drives us. It starts actually from the very beginning of our company. When Bill and Paul first created the basic interpreter, which is the first product 40 years ago that Microsoft, the product was, that was a tool for developers so that they can go on to create great things with digital technology. That core underpinning of providing digital technology and platforms to others so that they can go on to build things is at the core ethos of our company. There are many parts of this mission that are pretty unique to how we approach things. For example, we think about individuals and organizations. For us, it's very important what an individual developer can do, what an individual business can do, but we also think of the collective. We think about how they can come together as part of organizations to shape things, because we all know that great things happen not just because of one individual, but it's because of us coming together. And in order to really make that happen, you need to think of that in building the applications, building the platforms, building the tools. Another aspect that is very important to us is being global. In fact, I was reminded of it when Windows 10 launched a few months back. Even the first 110 million users of Windows 10 are spread across all the countries we operate in. We operate in over 190 countries. And it's fantastic to see technology broadly get diffused throughout the globe. In fact, in Italy, for me, that is one of the first questions I even ask our local team whenever I visit, which is, what is the contribution we are making to the local economy, the local startups, the local ISVs, the local partners? And in fact, we have a very deep, broad ecosystem, because I think that's core to how we want to show up, how we want to promote technology. Of course, now going forward, we have to express this mission, this sensibility in a changing world, in a changing technological paradigm. I describe this world as a mobile-first, cloud-first world. We have a very, very specific point of view when we say mobile-first. For us, when you look out 5 years from now, what is going to be true is there's just going to be more computing in our lives. There's going to be computers that we will have in our wrist, like the band I'm wearing. There's going to be things that you have on your eyes. There's going to be small screens, large screens. There's going to be general purpose sensors in every room we are in. So there is going to be, computing is going to be ubiquitous. So what's going to matter is the mobility of the human experience across all the computing in our lives. It's not the mobility of any one device. And that is going to get orchestrated by the cloud. And that's one of the reasons why we think about the mobile and the cloud revolutions happening together and simultaneously. Even the cloud, for us, we have a very broad vision for distributed computing. In fact, many of the announcements throughout this week in Europe has been about building out that mega scale cloud, so that it's available to every developer, every business in Europe. We want to contribute to this mobile-first, cloud-first world with three bold ambitions of ours. And I want to talk about each one of these ambitions in some detail. The first one is about reinvention of productivity and business process. For me, productivity is not some narrow category or a narrow endeavor. if anything it is what truly brings forth the advantage of digital technology to the broader economy and the broader society. In all the abundance of computing that we have around us and we will have around us, what is scarce is human attention and time. So to have technology, in fact, be the answer to help us wisely allocate the scarce resource of our attention and our time, we think is perhaps the most important thing we can do for both individuals, organizations, and the entire economies. And we're going about it with a very different and new approach to how tools and systems can help. The first thing, for example, is that work no longer is a place you go to. Work is about getting things done, making things happen wherever you are. So that means the tools, your data, your applications have to be available on any device at any point in time. That is very core to how we're approaching Office 365 and Dynamics and all the richness that we have. We have it on all platforms, so we no longer think of ourselves as being bound to any one platform. We will support iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and everything that's going to come along. The second thing that we are building into the core of our productivity solutions is conversations and collaboration. Because none of us work in isolation. Things happen because people come together as teams. And in fact, these teams are also not bound by any organizational structure. Small businesses, large businesses, all of them, public sector, all of them work in networks, in ecosystems. So you need the software capabilities to be able to harness that collective power of a team so that they can communicate asynchronously, synchronously, share documents, share work artifacts, comment on things, discover things. So collaborations and even thinking of a conversation, in fact, as the platform that drives productivity is central to what we are doing. And tools like Yammer and Skype and Outlook are all central to how organizations communicate, collaborate, and drive their organizations. Perhaps more than anything else, the thing that is going to change productivity is to not think of these as just individual tools, but to think of it as a system that gives you the smart, both individually and as an entire team or organization, on how you can allocate your scarce resource of time more productively. In fact, one of the tools that I'm so sort of excited about is called Delve Analytics. And the reason why I'm excited about is we, you know, for example, in health now, we're all used to tracking what we do, the quantified self. We all have bands that are tracking our health and wellness. And you can go back and look at both your calorie output and intake and your heart rate and UV light exposure and many, many things. What if we took that same approach to your work? What if there was a tool that gave you insight into how you're spending the time, meetings you're having, people who are part of your network? It knows about the tasks at hand, your projects. So it'll not only tell you how you're spending your time, but it'll predict who are the people, what is the content that you need to pay attention to. So to me, really building that system that drives people and organizations forward by giving individual recommendations and feedback is perhaps one of the big breakthroughs that we will have. It's in some sense applying machine intelligence and data to productivity and communications. We in fact do not also think of limiting what we think of as productivity only to communications and our services. We also think of business process, because all business processes that get automated ultimately need the human in the loop. And so we think of business process applications terminating in your communication tools. The second ambition of ours is around building out this intelligent cloud. In fact, as I said, when we think about our cloud, we do not think of it narrowly, but we are going to build out this global scale infrastructure, which is going to, we already operate in over 100 data centers in 40 plus countries, and we are going to continuously keep expanding that. But it's not just, in fact, even our mega-scale service. We even think of our servers as the edge of our cloud. So true distributed computing would mean that compute, storage, network will come together in new forms, but it's not limited to even our build-out of a mega-scale cloud service, but it's always going to be possible because of what we make available through things like Azure Stack for anyone to be able to stand up their own cloud. But one of the key things for me that's exciting is not only do you now have, as developers and as businesses, the ability to tap into this infinite capacity, this elastic capacity of compute and storage and data, but you also now have the capability to reason over large amounts of data to create intelligence and insight. 5 years, 10 years from now, when we look at the applications that have been created in this era, the thing that we will look at as the defining aspect of these applications is that intelligence. In fact, we have taken all of our learning in applied machine learning, having done computer vision, having done machine translation, speech recognition, web understanding, all these things that we have done because of some of the consumer services we've built, from Xbox Live to Kinect to Skype Translate. We've taken all of that technology and are making it available as Azure Machine Learning Services and Cortana Analytics so that you can infuse into the applications you build intelligence, so that you can, as individuals, use tools like Power BI. Just because you have large amounts of data and big data doesn't mean you have insights. You need to be able to recognize those small patterns. You need to be able to ask natural language questions and get rich visualizations back that help you get those insights. And it's really exciting to see what many of you as developers are doing with this technology. In fact, this morning I had a chance to meet with some of the developers, and they're inspiring stories. In fact, I had a chance to meet with a spectrum of developers, starting with developers in high school, along with one of the Microsoft MVPs, who are, you know, it's called Baby Goldrake. And they had this ambition, they had this vision to create a framework, a tool chain, and applications for kids in hospitals who don't have mobility so that they can make things happen with just brainwaves. I mean, think about it. I mean, what struck me about that example was just the deep empathy that the team has for the users that they are trying to serve. And these are high school kids in Italy dreaming big. And so they have this application that they've built now using some of our cloud technologies, some of our client technologies, building universal apps. But the most interesting thing is they want to change what it means to be in a hospital bed and not have mobility, and to really, just with a brainwave, to have toys that come alive. It's just fantastic to see that. I also had a chance to meet with a couple of student developers who, in fact, participated in the Imagine Cup. And they were also inspired by their own personal stories of how can they create something that can change lives for people with cardiac issues, inspired by their own personal experiences, people in their family. They used the band to get that continuous heart rate. They worked, in fact, with some expert physicians and cardiologists in Italy to come up with algorithms that can detect cardiac issues. And then to be able to use that to notify your friends and family so that if you have an incident, that you get the support you need. Again, an inspiring way to think about how technology can be used to solve some of the big challenges of our societies. The last example, in fact, is someone who's participated in the BizSpark program and has solved a very, very unique challenge, or has had a very, very unique solution to an amazing, amazing insight he had. It's called Melexa. The idea was to say, what if we can change the productivity of every beekeeper in the world? And he went about creating essentially an IoT solution by creating a sensor framework, putting it in beehives, being able to quantify, he calls it quantified bees and smart beehives, where you now have pretty much all of the activity that is happening in a beehive generating a bunch of data that is getting rendezvoused in a cloud. And now using the cloud, the beekeeper can in fact drive and monitor and increase their productivity. In fact, he gave me a present of great honey that was generated using one of those beehives that I'm absolutely going to take back to my house in Seattle and enjoy in my breakfast. The fascinating thing for me was not only is this solution working already, generating $250,000 of revenue, but the ambition this entrepreneur has going forward. And I think this is one of the telling stories of the world we live in. He already has one of his sensors and technology deployed in San Francisco. He has ambitions of serving not just the Italian industry, but everywhere in the globe. And of course, that's what's possible today. And that's what each one of you can do. You can take advantage of global technology, solve local problems, but not only solve local problems, but take those things that you do in unique ways and in fact solve some global issue. And that is really the power of this intelligent cloud. It's really not about the cloud itself or any technology. It's really about your ingenuity to make things happen with it. To me, the third ambition of building new personal computers is another exciting endeavor for us. If you look at our history of computing, it has been marked by these changes in input and output. It is these category creation moments that punctuate progress in our technology. The first time we came across a graphical user interface, the first time we were able to do touch, speech, inking, and now even holographic computing. And we are in the business of creating new types of personal computing and new types of personal computers. The band is a computer that works with any phone as a companion, but also frees you for any phone. When we build a phone, we want it not just to be a phone, but also to have PC-like experiences. So that's why we built the Windows phone with Continuum, so that if that is the only computing device with you, it can change its form and function by attaching additional peripherals. We built Surface so that we can have a tablet that can replace your laptop. We built Surface Hub so that you can have a large screen communal experience that can even have touch and ink. So that's the kind of innovation we want to bring to market. But the more interesting thing is not just these new forms and functions or new computers, but in the hands of developers, what you can do. One of the applications that I'm so inspired by is StaffPad, where they were able to take advantage of the fact that you can have digital ink on a surface and change music. I believe last night here there was a fantastic concert. So think about how music composition can be changed. One of the oldest of art forms because of new digital technology, not just in the production or not just in the way we listen to it, but in its composition, in its creation. And another application out of, in fact, Italy, a startup out of Italy called EasyDum that I got to learn about, is using our agent interface, because Cortana is a transformative experience layer, because you now are able to use the agent and speech input to drive, to command, and really have your applications react. And EasyDum is building a home automation solution. But one of the developers there and one of the founders there had this very beautiful line where he said his vision is to introduce or create a soul in the house through digital technology, or give every home a soul because of the personality that you infuse into it, because it can recognize you, you can talk to it, it will respond. And it's pervasive, and it speaks perhaps more than anything else to that vision that it's not about the mobility of a device, but it's the mobility of the human experience. It works on the browser, it works on the PC, it works on your phone, it works on your Xbox. In other words, you can be anywhere, and you can invoke something like Cortana and make things happen inside your home. And another example is what Case Western Reserve University and Cleveland Clinic in the United States are doing with the HoloLens. In fact, I'm very inspired by developers who are taking this new medium. All through our history in computing, we have done one thing. We have taken things that we observe in the analog world, and we have created digital metaphors. In fact, we have created these mirror worlds so far. Desktop is a great example of it. We sort of saw how people worked, and we said, let's create a desktop metaphor. And the phone is literally a shrunk down version of it with a bunch of icons on your screen. But for the first time now, with the holographic computing, the mixed reality, and HoloLens, we have the ability to mix in the analog world digital objects that understand the geometry and the physics. It's a complete new medium. We're going to, in the years to come, understand even what it means to create, what it means to consume this new medium. And what Case Western Reserve and Cleveland Clinic did was in medical education, how students and teachers, for example, can take a cadaver and learn medicine. I always think about it as an electrical engineering undergrad. I'm ashamed to say that I never understood Maxwell's equations. But if only I had something like this, maybe I could have visualized it. I could have understood it. And to me, having these powerful new tools and a powerful new medium can change education, can change industrial design. Italy is a country where people are great designers. And you can imagine what an architect, what someone who is building a motorcycle can do, because now not only can they design it in 2D, but they can see the holographic output of what they're designing right there next to them. And so to me, that is really a frontier of new technology that's very, very exciting. And then we will have developer kits of HoloLens early next calendar year, and I can't wait to see what developers everywhere will do with it. So let's roll the video to just give you a flavor for it.
Look around. Technology is all around us. We use it in every aspect of our lives. It enables us to do amazing things. But what if we could go further? What if we could go beyond the screen? Where your digital world is blended with your real world. Now we can. This is the world with holograms. What will they enable us to do? New ways to visualize our work.
You know, I have an idea for the fuel tank.
New ways to share ideas with each other.
How are things going your end?
I just put the images in OneDrive.
Perfect.
More immersive ways to play. New ways to teach and learn.
So put the new trap in the place of the old one.
Now what?
And tighten here and here.
New ways to collaborate and explore the places we've never been.
Look at this formation. Let's take a closer look.
And new ways to create the things we imagine. When you change the way you see the world, you can change the world you see. This is Microsoft HoloLens.
I really love that line where it says, when you change the way you see the world, you change the world you see. Because I think it captures the essence of what digital technology in the hands of developers, individuals, organizations can do. Because ultimately, it is about us having bold ambitions and dreams, and going after them fearlessly. And for technology to be that tool that amplifies human ability to achieve great things. I can't wait to see what all of you go on to do, and us playing a small part in it by giving you the tools and platforms. Thank you so very, very much. The real question that needs to be asked as well as answered is, what is it that we can do that is unique, that is impactful?
It began with the question and a desire to make a difference. What we do impacts each and every one of us.
Technology has the power to unite us.
That is something to be celebrated.
When I lost my eyesight, I thought that my painting days were over.
But the vision has evolved, and our mission is clear. We are going to empower every individual and every organization to do more.
I built a computer and I opened a fridge with a Lego.
We can study black rhinos without disturbing their natural environment, so we can help keep them safe.
Technology has changed Braylon's life by opening up the world for him.
It is a process of continuous renewal. It is about looking forward.
Whatever I can do to help compute a cure for cancer, that's what I'd like to do.
I can see him.
And asking the question, what can we do together? There is no limit to how far we can go.
If you dream big enough and believe in your dreams, you can make it happen.